Hey, it's the PC Gamer Show, and this week we're talking about Hyperscape, Ubisoft's new Battle Royale shooter that just went into open beta. It's a much faster, slimmer affair than what we're used to, and Morgan Park is here to explain everything you need to know about it. Stick around.
Hey everybody, we're back with Morgan Park. How you doing, bud?
Good, man. How about you?
I'm all right. It's getting hot, as we were talking about. Sweating all the time and generally miserable when I'm outside. But, you know, video games are good.
Yeah.
A good antidote to the heat.
I've been staying inside so I don't have to be outside, and that has been nice.
And if you're... Well, the irony is, like, I don't know, living situations in the past... The tragedy was always that, like, especially when I was in college, staying in my dorm rooms, that you get that hot, dry Montana summer heat, and you'd want to escape, be inside, and play computer games, but inevitably at a poorly ventilated, tiny room, and just a shit computer, just that would heat up, because it was old, and I had to overclock it and everything, and it would just become hotter inside than outside. But
I was very introverted at home and would keep my door closed, and having, you know, two or three consoles in there and a laptop that's, you know, spitting out heat was absolutely miserable. But I couldn't open the window because there was 105 degrees out there. So I just sort of stewed in it, made a little person soup.
You really get to know all the smells you are capable of in situations like that. It's lovely. It's lovely.
Can't be surprised anymore.
Right on. But yeah, we have you this week because you're one of our shooter specialists, FPS doctorate, Morgan Park, always writing about Siege. You play a lot of, you're pretty experienced in Battle Royale. Shooters in general are just kind of your thing, pointing, clicking with accuracy and finesse.
I didn't go to school for 8 years for nothing, you know?
You know... At this point, you know what's fucked up is Battle Royale is officially an old established genre to me now, you know? So when a new Battle Royale game comes out, it's like, all right, come on, guys. It's kind of like the tail end of the MOBA era, you know? Remember
absolutely. When there was a DC MOBA or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Those final weird, poorly timed punches at that genre. I feel like we're approaching that with Battle Royale. I don't think we're quite at a total stoppage yet, and I think there's maybe something to just the shooter genre period that can, you know, allows for kind of constant renewal. But even so, I think we finally reached, like, all the big studios kind of have their battle royales now, and this is Ubisoft's surprise announcement of Hyperscape, a smartly different take on the genre so far. It kind of points in many different directions than what's already out there. And you played a bunch of it. You were in a technical alpha, or I don't know what they were.
Yeah, calling. I did their preview thing.
Gotcha.
And I'm in the technical test that I think ended yesterday or something.
Gotcha. So how does this? Sorry, go on.
Oh no, I think it's funny to think about how, like, if there's a new you know, like a platformer that comes out, we don't really, like, question if it should even exist. We just, like, say if we like it or not, move on. But but whenever there's, same thing with the MOBA era, whenever, like, a new one comes around that sort of, you know, walks in and expects to be popular for years and years to come, we're, like, inclined to say, like, yeah, does this even need to exist? Does it even deserve to exist? And that sort of thing, you know? But it is because they come in swinging as if, like, we're going to be around for a long time. And honestly, like, playing it at first, I was having trouble seeing, like, I could see the bullet points of what was different. So, like, obviously, the Hyperscape's biggest thing is that it's an entirely city map, urban map, whatever they call it. It's just buildings everywhere. There's no grassy hills or sniper spot, you know, sniper outposts and bushes and nothing like that. It is just one big sliced up rows of buildings with roads and some bridges here and there. And so, like, yeah, that is different. That is cool. I think probably the biggest difference that I enjoy is how mobile everybody is.
Yeah.
Yeah. double jumps, slides, and that sort of thing. It's like almost the right combination of movement abilities that I was missing from Apex Legends from Titanfall. Like, I really miss Titanfall's feeling of movement. But
it hits a lot. Like, at a glance, it presents more as like Unreal, like in Unreal or Quake style.
Totally. Not quite that fast.
Not quite, but it is definitely, if we're comparing within Battle Royale genre, it definitely ebbs toward that.
We do need that. We need a Battle Royale where you're so fast without even having to press a sprint button. Mm. It's fast. And I also think, you know, not to say this derogatorily like some people do, but it is casual. Mm-hmm. It is a much more casual Battle Royale, because there's no, like, looting is sort of set aside to just sort of simple pick two guns, pick two abilities that you see on the ground, and then the only thing you have to worry about after that is picking up the one single type of ammo there is, and then upgrading them by picking up copies of the same weapons and abilities you get. Gotcha. And I guess the abilities are the other big thing, because it's not, in a way, it's like Apex, where everybody has abilities that they proc, and then they have to regen cooldown. But you're not assigned certain ones based on your character in this. You just choose a skin, basically like Fortnite, mm-hmm. and then you find your abilities out in the world. And there's like 9 different ones, and they range from simple stuff like turn invisible or have some armor. But there's some weirder ones, like you get a sonored like blink teleport. It's pretty mm-hmm. cool. You can turn into a ball, weirdly enough, and bounce around the map and have some armor. Strange. That's the basics, right?
And then
the other cool thing that I think other games should steal is that it's not a circle. What mm-hmm. what closes the map down is not a circle that just constricts. It is a seemingly random, but not quite random, closing of districts of the city. And when I was talking to Ubisoft before they revealed the game, the guy wouldn't tell me exactly what is dictating when districts close down, which at least told me that it's a lot more than just randomness. Like, I think it might start closing down districts that have players with like really high tier loot, probably really high level guns and stuff.
Right.
So that's cool.
Interesting.
I like it. It's just, I don't know, man. Like, I do find myself asking, like, why is there enough different here to like tear people away from the games they already enjoy? You know,
maybe. I mean, like, maybe. Is this going to be free to play and everything too?
Yeah, free to play. They're doing seasons. They're doing battle passes.
The whole structure, the Fortnite structure, mm-hmm. is the norm now.
You're gonna have skins with lore. Lore outside the game.
I mean, at a glance, I hate how it looks. I just, at the color palette or something about it, it's very,
I hate the characters.
Yeah.
I think they look, they don't quite look good enough to compare to like the cartoon art of Overwatch or something. Yeah. But that's mostly the base skins that you start with, like the really boring like orange jumpsuits that everybody has. I just think it's lame to start with like all the characters looking so dumb, and then you're supposed to like buy skins that actually are worth a damn afterwards.
It's just weird to me, because if this is an urban shooter, to restate the cliche of every open world game, you know, the setting, the city should be a character. It feels like it's like low spec on the purpose of that is to be low spec and to be able to run.
It is low spec. Yeah. And it's actually really nice. I made this point when I was writing about it, that like, you know, I coming away from the game, I still prefer Warzone because it has better shooting, like just, you know, higher quality. Because, you know, they pumped hundreds of millions of dollars into that, they made it feel a lot better. Mm-hmm. But, and they also, I also like the format and the dual lock and all that stuff. But it's also like wrapped up in this crazy 200 gigabyte download. And on my fairly nice PC, it's not definitely not the nicest, but I can never quite get it to run the way I want. And but you know, and then here's Hyperscape, which was like less than 10 gigs that we downloaded for the preview build. And yeah, like it, you know, got up to 144, 120 FPS without really trying. And I think that is actually really valuable, even though I don't love the game, but I do appreciate that a lot.
That's good. And I think that's important for the long-term life and accessibility of a game like this. And Battle Royale, I think, just by the sort of like accumulated nature of the genre, is intertwined so heavily with streaming services and I don't want to say esports, but that weird ambiguous type of player like Ninja or whoever that is just extremely good at what they do and sometimes competes. And to that same point, they've kind of talked up this Twitch integration quite a bit. Ubisoft has. I don't know if it. Well, first of all, can you explain like the full breadth of what's going on with this Twitch integration?
Yeah, they're going all in on those Twitch features. Yeah. Like, I was watching a Rainbow Six Siege streamer play the game, and I was surprised at how seamless it was. I guess I just was watching for a few minutes, and all of a sudden this pop-up window came up on the stream to vote for the next world event in that match. And those are things that they range from like low gravity to like infinite ammo to one that just reveals all the enemies on the map for everybody with little red triangles above their head. And yeah, you vote on it and then, you know, a minute later it happens in the game, and that's pretty cool. But it goes even farther than that, because I feel like even you've seen that kind of interaction before. Yeah. They at any point, I was checking it to see how quickly it updates. I can see the streamer's loadout that they're carrying in that same sort of pop-up window if I keep it up, and it like, you know, updates with how upgraded their stuff is and that sort of thing. A little weird considering that you don't like that stuff's already on screen. You can see what weapon they have. You can see how upgraded it is. So I don't know why that information's that valuable to see in an overlay Twitch thing. But it's still impressive to me how, at least how fast it's sending that info back and forth and updating it.
Shows potential at least for more. Yeah, I didn't get to play any of this during the test, but I did sit and watch some big streamers play for a while and kind of voted haphazardly and lazily every time those world event votes came up, and that was cool. Sorry, what?
I don't know. I don't think I care that I'm, you know, triggering low gravity in the sense of like, did I just screw over someone across the map or help them out? But it was cool to watch the streamer, like, you know, maybe struggling because he's in a 2v1 fight, and then to see the infant, like, you know, I voted for low cooldowns on abilities because he was using his abilities a lot, and I figured it would be cool if he had lower cooldowns for a moment. And then it came in, he was like, chat, thanks, because they had been voting for the low gravity constantly, because apparently that's what everyone votes for. But he was appreciative that when he needed it, that was the one that came in. It's like, that was cool. That was definitely cool. But it also is a gimmick, you know, like, that's not going to be every time that the vote really matters. And honestly, the events that are triggered, like, for as much as they can help the person you're trying to help, they can totally screw people over. Like, if you're trying to hide because you're trying to revive someone, and the only thing you need in the world is to not be spotted right now, and then suddenly the reveal event happens and everybody's spotted through walls, but it particularly screws you over because you just need to hide. And that sucks, you know. Like, that's partly why I keep calling it a more casual game, because you cannot really go in with the same expectation of competition. Because
it's straight up like, for all streamers and gamers with a capital G complain about RNG, it is straight up just,
it's built in. Yeah, like, if fucking Ninja or Tfue or whoever is in your Hyperscape match, they're obviously gonna overpower whatever other streamers are there or anyone else who could be voting. Like, if their audience is listening to them, they get to decide whatever the vote is, basically. Yeah, so, you know, what if they're one of the last squads left and it's a 3v2 and they just like leverage their chat to activate the reveal all event and then they use that to win. Like, that, not only that wasn't just randomness screwing you over, that was literally the power of a streamer screwing you over in a way. So that theoretically doesn't feel cool either.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, it's an interest. I'm still waiting for truly interesting Twitch integration that isn't just strictly about like viewer engagement in the end. I feel like it's built to juice analytics on the streamer's end, rather than be interesting over the long term. But who knows?
I think that's fair. Yeah, it feels more like it feels more gimmick to entice people to stay on the stream than to really stand up to scrutiny of is this really that cool? You know,
it's just kind of the modern like. Remember, I don't know, maybe this is like two before your time. I forget our age difference, but Nintendo, when they had the Game Boy Link cable to GameCube functionality, it was just kind of like on the back of the box no matter what, but no one fucking used any of those.
Yeah, I used the... Was it a different cable for one that went from Game Boy to Game Boy? Like, was it a completely different one that went to the GameCube?
I think it was separate. Actually, I don't even know.
I used the hell out of my Game Boy to Game Boy one to trade Pokemon.
Absolutely.
But yeah, no, I didn't ever use the Tingle Tracker or whatever in Zelda.
Good Lord. But let's talk about the shooting itself, because there's a couple things here that make firefights play out pretty differently. Number one being, I mean, we mentioned speed. It's very, very fast, more Twitch-based shooter than what's out there in Battle Royale. But also time to kill is pretty. You are a very spongy, character.
I actually really hate how high the time to kill is. And
me too. It kind of seems to go against like the spirit of that Twitch shooting. You get these really elastic kind of cat and mouse.
I got problems from multiple directions with it. Like, first of all, like so I mentioned that you level up guns by just like picking up copies of them, and that levels them up to level 1, 2, up to 5. And sometimes it levels up your clip, and sometimes it levels up your reload speed. Sometimes it's damage. And so, like, when you first jump in, and you're having those, like, those first skirmishes where you're just trying to pick up a gun and kill everyone in the room, time to kill so long, because you're probably using a level 1 gun, and it is a fucking pea shooter. It's just not doing anything. And it's made worse by the fact that everyone's so squirrely and dodgy and small and double jumping around. Like, it's really bad combo to have such high health and high mobility, just elongate these firefights into really frustrating nonstop thing. And then if they're popping abilities like the armor that just makes them invulnerable for a while, or invisibility to disappear, heal up, and then come back, or just using the heal ability to just be gaining health Overwatch style the entire time you're fighting. It sucks, man. Those fights, honestly, I have not had much fun in a lot of my firefights, the same way that I can point to specific, like, thrilling fights in Warzone and even Apex. Apex has a similar problem, but you at least have to break away, use your heals, come back, and you're not jumping quite as high and as frequently around.
I feel like I see the intent here is to have something like a dance, you know, you want that good shooter dance. And given like how mobile you are, the abilities you have, there's room for that. There's room for like an engagement length that is more than just, you know, who saw who first, or who was just more accurate on their first shot. And that works in something like Halo, because you're a big, floaty, slow, you know, you get these like slow-mo, moon gravity ballets that prioritize weapon switching, like fast weapon switching, using like countering. There's time to like recognize the threat, counter, and like just kind of like dance away.
The dance is also like there's a dance to like getting in closer so that your assault rifle becomes good.
Yes.
And you use that to finish it off.
Absolutely.
Whereas when you're farther back and you're like trying to use your battle rifle or pistol.
Interesting range changes there too that you have to consider. And here it seems like, I don't know, I don't know the weapon, the arsenal too much here, but I saw a lot of people using most weapons at, besides the shotgun, at pretty effectively at a lot of distances, including like the chain gun was, people were just like using that from 1,000 miles away with like pinpoint perfect accuracy. The grenade launcher is just pretty overwhelming.
Especially indoors, I think
knocks
you around physically so much that you can't really do much about it.
And whatever that default assault rifle is also pretty effective. And the shotgun up close is like just a delete button. It's, might as well not have a melee attack.
I think that all applies once you upgrade them. Like once you get everything level 5 and you get like their final damage upgrade, that's when it starts to feel a little more like how it probably should from the start, where it's a little more like a natural ballet. Just an incredibly high paced one where you're really having to whip that mouse around to catch someone flying.
It's pretty exhausting it looks like it's exhausting to play, but even to watch, it's just, these streamers have their FOV juiced up and you have this double jump, and sometimes gravity's lower, and combined with a dash, it's just, it never stops moving. And the city itself is kind of, the locations are pretty indistinct overall to me. I didn't play a bunch of it or watch a bunch of it, so it's maybe that's not true in the long term, but I just got so disoriented, and I can imagine with the high time to kill, just losing my, opponent all the time,
Yeah, and like the breakaway is not that possible either, because footsteps are really loud, but also it does the Overwatch thing where once you're aiming at someone, they have a pretty clear red outline around them. So and not only that, but by default, just sprinting around leaves this really notable neon trail of light behind you. So hiding doesn't really seem like a thing. You would think there's a million places to hide because it's a city. But no, like as soon as someone's in your FOV, they stick out like a sore thumb, and there's only a few buildings like per block to hide in. So, like, yeah, it feels like there's a piece missing there where you can break away and get back in the fight, because people are just as mobile as you, and they're going to chase you the hell down.
Again, this is a technical test, and these games live for more than the 2 months after they release. So there's room for like tweaking that time to kill and game speed and maybe how they encourage play styles with loadouts and abilities and such, because it's definitely, from what I've seen, almost every fight kind of plays out the same and they are chaotic, internally, intrinsically, but and that's kind of the point. But it's definitely like ascendant battle royale. Everyone's just hyper aggressive. There's not really much in the way of nuance or tactics, positional tactics.
I think, I don't think either of us have played a ton of it, but I still think it's fair to say it is not a tactically deep game, based on how few options it gives you on how to do things,
Right. But so, sorry, go on.
I think the upgrades can also be brought, it's just like you said, I appreciate once the weapons are upgraded and the time to kill gets shorter, it feels a little bit more, chaotic battles feel a little better because they're just not dragging on for as long and they feel a little more fair, except that you often still don't feel like you're in a fair fight just because they have the higher tier weapon than you. And that just comes back to something I've hated in every battle royale that does it, where, if I'm being punished just for not getting lucky enough with my loot, like what the hell is the point?
That requires the loot game being more than random, it requires it being, and it seems here it's like you move so quickly that that shit is everywhere. It doesn't seem there's like much of a loot game itself where you have to really be smart in the way you kind of like plan your route through the map. Your map knowledge, knowing which areas are highly contested and not, risking it to go pick that stuff up. It just seems like the sheer aggression of this game means you're either going to steamroll yourself into a good loadout or not.
Totally. Yeah. You know? Because you can, there's little boxes you can break with your melee, and sometimes those just have a fully upgraded gun from the get-go. But you're right. Yeah. I think the frequency of the loot is such that if you are doing what you're supposed to do, which is just run around and loot until you find someone to fight, you know, almost everyone's going to have like a level two, maybe level three weapon. But it sticks out so far that it is the ones with the level five sniper rifle that can one shot headshot anything from across the map, or the people with the fully upgraded minigun. Those level four and five upgrades really make, they seem to really make the difference. And, and that's not a new concept in Battle Royale, but I just really don't like it. And, I much appreciate what Warzone did, which came out back in March, I think. They scrunched it all down. First of all, you start with a pistol, which is great. It does, even if you, just my least favorite thing in the world is to drop in on someone in Apex and they actually grab the only gun in the room, and then I'm just trying to run away before they gun me down. You start with a gun, which is nice, but everything is scrunched down more. Like you have maybe your maximum health you can ever have in that game is maybe double of your standard Call of Duty health if you're playing the normal multiplayer, maybe triple. But it's still, in practice, it is still a really short time to kill. And, but more importantly, it's just there's not some wide gap between certain guns damage-wise. Like, super standard SMG you find on the ground can absolutely put someone down that has a tier 5 assault rifle, because the only thing that the tiers mean in that game is how many attachments they have. It's not some artificial damage ramp that just makes it an overall superior weapon. It's just like tiny advantages that are nice to have. To me, that's like super important to making it good.
Yeah. And I just kind of wonder if the nature of this battle royale game in particular, it being this, it seems like there's a thesis here to condense it, to condense the time to play, to condense sort of the skills required to feel some kind of efficacy in a given match, just get in there and like experience chaos and get out. I think Hyperscape like can occupy a space within this, within the Battle Royale space. I don't know if it's going to be for the hyper competitive people who've been playing, or even like casually competitive people who've been playing Apex and Call of Duty over the last year or two.
You know, to go back to our very start, like, there's a lot of these things now.
Yeah.
You know, like, we've had two high-profile battle royales come out this year now, or coming out this year, I guess, in the case of Hyperscape. But, yeah, like, yeah, it does make you wonder how many of these things can exist at once, and how many have enough people buying their microtransactions, I guess, to really justify it.
Employed.
Yeah, like, you know, everyone likes to speculate about it, like, can it succeed or whatever. But this is the only one that has come out so far that I honestly don't know if it does enough to actually distinctively. You know, the Twitch stuff is for as gimmicky as it feels right now. That might be the biggest thing, at least. You know, I am not the target demo of the Twitch stuff because I don't watch streams every day and I don't really care. But if that could prove to be really important, you know, like if enough people are watching it, if streamers are incentivized to play it because people are watching it because they like the Twitch integration stuff, then that could be a big deal. But just as far as playing it right now, like unless like the double jump movement and like the really smooth, because it feels great. It really feels really good to move around. Like unless that stuff combined with its shooting is just like your perfect medley of VR action, then like I think almost everything else it does is just done better elsewhere.
All right.
Right now.
Right now. Yeah. You know, hey, who knows? And maybe that doesn't even matter because I don't know. Sometimes these games pick up steam, whether, you know, shooter nerds like us, regardless of how they sit within the greater space in the genre, like, cause maybe just the fact that this is low spec and runs on so many, can run on so many PCs is enough, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe that's it. It's maybe more of a strategic decision that way.
Despite everything I just said, I will probably be more likely to boot this up randomly one day to play with friends.
Yeah.
Purely because I can download it in 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, free and my friends can also get it really easily.
Yeah. Either way, I think it's pretty fascinating. I think this, my bold prediction will be this is like going to be the last big VR shooter we see sort of like thrown out there for a while.
You don't think Bethesda's going to come out with Doom VR?
Can you fucking imagine? Oh my God. Oh my God. I hope this is it at least. Let's just let the genre sit. Let it soak for a little bit and we'll check in a year or two and see where they're all at. I'm into that. I'm enjoying, I still enjoy Apex and Fortnite and I still haven't played Call of Duty. I feel bad.
Like, you haven't tried Warzone?
No.
Well, you should start now. It'll be done downloading in a year. Fuck.
I think that's honestly that's my biggest deterrent. It's way too big. It's way.
We as a gaming community do not talk enough about how much it matters when we just the anxiety and just sort of blech of having to re-download stuff and how much that keeps us from playing stuff. Like, that is a big deal for Call of Duty for me.
I'm lucky. I have like Google Fiber. Takes forever to install.
Yeah.
Big hard drive. But even that, it's real estate, you know, it's real estate.
Yeah. Dude, yeah, when Call of Duty is installed, it is a fifth of my computer.
That's like that's an existential crisis for me. That's like looking inside and, you know, like, do I really care about Call of Duty this much to have it represent my digital identity, my digital home, you know?
My one fifth Call of Duty.
The rest is water. Oh, man. Cool. Well, Hyperscape, it's overall sounds like there are some really interesting, distinct things happening there. It certainly stands apart from what's out there, but it is not particularly sharp or all pointing in the same direction.
I think all the most important mechanics for what I care about as a shooter are not the best here, but double jumping is really fun.
Double jumping, 10 gigs.
Double jumping, 10 gigs. You know, your mid-tier computer can play it, and that's awesome.
Cool. Well, thanks, Morgan. Do we know when this is hitting the public at all?
No, we do not.
I'm going to wager and say, like, we
have to do mental gymnastics about what embargoes I'm still under about.
Okay.
Stuff.
Well, I'll just speculate then, but I'm gonna guess stuff starts opening up, like maybe in more of an open beta or a big new wave is announced on Sunday at UB's event.
That sounds like a pretty good guess.
Yeah. That would make sense, wouldn't it?
Sure would.
I'll give it a shot anyway. It seems like a fuck around Friday night kind of thing. And
that's the beauty of it. More. Let's play some.
All right, man. Cool. Well, that's going to do it for the show today. Go to pcgamer.com/tag/podcast for our entire archive of shows. youtube.com/pcgamer for segments of the show chopped up. If you want them that way, you can go to Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, whatever their thing is, and find the PC Gamer show there in audio format. The RSS feed is also at that PC Gamer link I mentioned before. Or at anchor.fm/PCGamer. So until next week when I'm recording segments for next week this week, and I can tell you it's going to be a fun one. A lot of new stuff talk about. Yeah. A pretty fat show, pretty big one. It's going to be like probably a good hour 30. There's so much to talk about. So stick around, subscribe to us, and you'll get the gaming news in your ears for your daily walk outside into the dangerous virus-ridden world. But until then, don't forget to what?
I forgot. Is it game on?
It's game on, Morgan.
Oh, nice. Game on.
Thank you.